This is Guildcast, episode 37, for July 18th, 2006. Hey everybody, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean. I'm doing this midweek episode to announce a few items of big news, but one large one in particular. There's a press release on the GuildWars.com website that I'll read from. ArenaNet announces Guild Wars Nightfall. Guild Wars players invited to play an exclusive player versus player event as beta testing launches for the next Guild Wars campaign. July 18th, 2006, Bellevue, Washington. ArenaNet, developer of the world's leading subscription-free online role-playing games, Guild Wars and Guild Wars Factions, and NCSoft Corporation, the world's leading developer and publisher of online computer games, announced today the title of the next game in the award-winning franchise, Guild Wars Nightfall. Further, Guild Wars Nightfall has entered the beta testing stage, and Guild Wars players worldwide are invited to participate in an exclusive first-look player-versus-player event, July 28th through the 30th, 2006. During the PvP preview event, both Guild Wars and Guild Wars Factions players will get a first look at Guild Wars Nightfall, and will be able to try out the two new professions being introduced in the game, the Dervish, a scythe-wielding holy warrior, and the Paragon, a guardian angel of the Alonian people. In addition to testing out the new professions and arenas, players will also be able to compete for items that will be exchangeable for a variety of rewards throughout the weekend event. The Guild Wars Nightfall PvP preview event will kick off on Friday, July 28th at 12:01 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and will continue through Sunday, July 30th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And now here's some info I got from a GameSpot interview regarding the two new classes. The Paragon isn't meant to be a frontline fighter. Instead, the Paragon is best suited in a support role as a battle commander, capable of supporting teammates by throwing spears and using verbal chants and shouts that can boost the fighting abilities of those nearby. And the Paragon's angelic nature isn't just aesthetic, as this profession's presence can help teammates resist hexes and other curses. It's easy to identify Paragons on the battlefield, thanks to their angelic look. Even the Paragon's armor is saintly in appearance, thanks to the incorporation of ivory and mother-of-pearl in its materials. And if that weren't enough, a Paragon's metal armor usually has the form of wings engraved in it. It's no wonder that the Alonians in the game believe that Paragons are guardian angels sent by the gods to serve as champions for the people. And now on to the Dervish. If the Paragon is best while standing back from a fight, the Dervish is at home in the heart of one. These holy warriors are capable of striking at multiple targets simultaneously with their wicked scythes. Of course, they're armed with a whirling, spinning attack that's perfect for when in the middle of a bunch of foes. Dervishes can also cast spells on themselves that aid in their assault, and the profession has various healing and protection abilities as well. The profession's most powerful ability, however, is to temporarily transform into the physical embodiment of a god. Since the profession is part warrior and part priest, dervishes are clad in robes rather than armor. Protection comes mainly from the dervish's agility in battle, as well as the various protection enchantments and spells. In addition to the robe, dervishes are equipped with bracers on their arms, and they're constantly hooded to show their humility to the gods. So I'll put a link to this GameSpot article in the show notes for you to check out. It also has some pictures of the two new classes as well that you definitely want to check out. So, anyway, that's pretty cool about the PvP preview event, and this will actually be the third week in a row that ArenaNet is doing an event. Last weekend was the open event to allow a guild the sixth spot in the World Championship, and also to get double Balthazar faction points in GVGs only. And then this coming weekend is when you can get double Balthazar faction in all PvP. And then the weekend after that will be this huge Nightfall preview event. So it's exciting times we live in, kids. And You know, lately I've been slacking a bit on the miscellaneous Guild Wars news. We've usually only been talking about the major stuff, so I'll use this episode also to catch up on a bit of the overshadowed news. We've got the newest issue of The Scribe, which is number 6, that came out this week. And I admit I haven't read the last two issues, but I'm going to do that pretty soon, because it's usually a pretty good read so far. The Guild Wars Factions Championship Season 3 in Leipzig, Germany is lining up, and there are some videos out there from the Open event last weekend. The guild who won the 6th spot in that lineup during the Open event ended up being the American guild Idiot Savants with the tag IQ. And in case you haven't seen it yet, there's a pretty new feature on the guildcast.com website provided by Brent over at virginworlds.com. On the left-hand side, you'll see a button labeled Guild Wars News, and if you click on that, you'll see a page of text links for the latest news from ArenaNet and several other internet sources. This is something that Brent set up to automatically update whenever he updates the news on his site, virginworlds.com, and that's pretty much an instant update. The good thing about this, though, is that all of the news relating to Guild Wars is in one spot without a lot of those flashy icons and distractions. It's just simple text headlines. Also, speaking of Brent, he sent me this promo for this new segment he's going to start doing on his Virgin Worlds podcast. It's basically like a grief hotline where you can call him or email him or somehow tell him your favorite story about some bad experiences you've had with ex-guildies. I think it's a pretty cool idea. It's kind of a lighthearted, humorous way to compile these stories without there really being so much anger or bitterness. This will be something for multiple games, not just Guild Wars, so I'm sure there will be a lot of World of Warcraft stories in there also. But I'm sure once he gets it going, it'll be pretty funny.
Did someone ninja loot your Ashbringer? Did you catch your guildmaster cybering with your girlfriend? Did you get knocked into the whelps and receive a 50 DKP minus? Guild drama can happen to all of us. But the only way to achieve catharsis is through the public mockery and humiliation of those responsible. If you've been the victim of guild drama, don't remain silent. Call the anonymous Virgin Worlds tip line at 214-55-MMOG0. Or email Brent at virginworlds.com. The truth must be heard. We're here to help you and to hurt your ex-guildmates. Those noobs.
So I got a lot of positive feedback from the last two shows. Seems like people really enjoy the conversational shows. And, you know, I wish we could do these every week, but with scheduling and everything, it makes it really difficult. Lady Sinea and I are literally on opposite schedules. Plus, editing those is kind of a nightmare. But that last one wasn't really too bad. The only problem with that last one was the sound that was spiking and cracking on Wild Prince Solero's end. But that was my fault for not testing our levels properly before recording. But I hope to be able to do those more often. And I got an email the other day that I wanted to read too. The main reason I wanted to read it is because I get so many emails for the same exact topic. But this one really explains everything really well. And hopefully this catches the ear of ArenaNet to let them know how this show is selling their product. Okay, it says, I was just listening to your Guildcast number 35, and I wanted to let you know you helped convince me to buy Factions too. My character on there is currently an Elementalist Monk level 12 named Nycteris Amadis. I emailed Lady Sinea already to ask about whether you ever had conversational podcasts, which you do, and they're great. Anyway, I quit WoW to get Guild Wars, and honestly, I would probably enjoy Guild Wars more if I hadn't played WoW first. It's bad to compare them continually in your head when you play. Stupid as it may seem, I miss being able to jump and swim. There are many other tiny differences that I miss, though some were grinds and inconveniences that I have no real reason to feel nostalgia over. Overall, there are so many differences between the two that this game works well on its own. I won't be surprised if I end up going backwards and buying prophecies later. I know you were wondering why Guild Wars is not considered an MMO when you see the stats of who is playing what online. This article on IGN tries to explain why they don't consider Guild Wars an MMO. and I'll include that link that she posted in here in the show notes for today. Most of it comes down to no one can randomly jump out and PK you. Also, it doesn't have much of a persistent game world other than town hubs. I'm not sure if I agree that this disqualifies it as an MMO, but I guess lots of people must hold this opinion. Thanks for all the effort you put into these podcasts. They're enjoyable and informative. Rachel. Well, I responded to Rachel, and I told her how much I appreciated the kind words. And yes, Guild Wars is usually automatically compared to World of Warcraft, but like she mentioned, Guild Wars works well on its own also. The two will always be compared, but it's pretty much apples and oranges when you break it down. And of course, I'm always happy to have the opportunity to introduce new people to Guild Wars. And finally, I had some news that I'm pretty excited about that I was going to save till next show, but I think I'm ready to announce it now. The Guildcast store is finally open. After some debate about whether I should go local print shop or if I should do an online thing, I decided to go with Cafe Press. Now, I did this for several reasons, but the main reasons being the variety and the ease of use of Cafe Press. They make it so easy to order what you want on just so many different things, like short sleeve shirts, long sleeve sweatshirts, colored shirts, hats, stickers, coffee mugs. It's really crazy. I used Cafe Press about 5 years ago on a website that I used to maintain, and even today I still have those shirts, and I wear them maybe, you know, a couple times a month, and the image hasn't faded or peeled or anything like that, like a regular silkscreen shirt will do. They use something called dye sublimation instead of that thick rubbery silkscreen that most small print shops use. So this is some good stuff. Plus, most of the t-shirt shops I was looking at sold cheapo t-shirts themselves. You know, the material is really thin. But I guess the only drawback of Cafe Press is the price. They're a bit on the pricey side initially, so I can't really mark anything up to make any money. Like I was going to do for, you know, to pay for hosting costs and things like that. But, you know, then I got to thinking, who really cares? I don't do this to make money anyway, and people are begging me for merchandise, so here you go. So there's now a link to it on the main site. On the left-hand side, you click the button that says Merchandise, and it'll take you there, or you can go directly to www.cafepress.com/guildcast. So that's it. There will be an episode 38 this weekend still, so don't worry about that. And remember about the hide-and-seek contest this Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But until then, tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.